Okay, we can come back to our seats. Introverts, you are like, thank the dear Lord, this time is over. Extroverts, you're grieving. You can continue your conversations after the service. To those of you who don't know me, my name is Sue Schenck. I am married to Merle Schenck, our lead pastor, who spoke at Grace East this morning, and who also is taking a team to Jordan, of which I will not be on that team. Merle cannot wait to get to the Middle East, and I'm like, I'm not quite there yet, but you are fully released to go to the Middle East. Hey, that rhymes. So before I get started on our message today, I felt during worship the first service, and I shared first service, and I want to share it again. When we were singing that song, What a Beautiful Name, What a Wonderful Name, and we get to, you know, what a powerful name it is, and it's like, bam, and we're like, yeah, Jesus, and but I just felt like the Lord reminded me, there's a lot of power in just Jesus. Help me. You know, sometimes that's all I have. I don't have Jesus, but I have Jesus. And there's just as much power in Jesus as there is Jesus. Maybe somebody need to hear that this morning. It's okay to whisper the name of Jesus when that's all you have. It is just as powerful. Okay. If you have been around long enough, you've probably realized that not everybody gets picked, not everybody gets chosen, not everybody gets called, not everybody gets a trophy. Wah, wah. Probably for most of us, we think early childhood. You know, some kids always got picked first when choosing sides, but not everyone. Some students got called to be on the volleyball, basketball, soccer, baseball team, but not everyone. Some actors and actresses get a second call when they're auditioning for a theater production, but not everyone. Some people get called for jury duty for a particular case or a trial, but not everyone. And Merle and I still stand amazed that in our years here on earth, we have never gotten called for jury duty. And I say that, and I bet you one of us this week is going to get our, you're called for jury duty. Some people get called to take part in a survey or a focus group, but not everyone. And some people get called to be on a specific committee, but not everyone. Some people, but not everyone. But is that true across the board for everything? Well, today I want to talk to you about something that is a call for all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. Just the mention of your name, there's power and there's peace. And Jesus, we pray you would breathe afresh this morning on this place, God, that the things that are on my heart would come out in a way that conveys your heart, Jesus. I thank you that each one of us is very noticed by you, very known by you, and very called by you. So God, I give you the next minutes ahead, and I pray that your heart would be conveyed and you would be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're continuing our mini-series where we are examining several of the core values that we have here at Grace Covenant. And these are 8 things that we as a church want to be known for and identified with. Things that we as a church, that when others think of us as a church or think of us individually as part of Grace Covenant, it's evident that these things are important to us. These are values that help to guide our decisions and direction of the church and hopefully of us individually. And so here are our core values. And you can go on our website. If you go on our website and you click on About Us and then you click on Mission and Vision, you can get a more expanded version of this. But our 8 values are worship, authentic community, cultural relevancy, ministry of the Holy Spirit, generosity, impartiality, which Merle spoke on 2 weeks ago, outreach that Mike gave a great message on last week, and our last one, and the one we're going to cover today, is discipleship. And the way that we have it described on our website is relational discipleship and focused training are essential for growing deeper. Where have we heard grow deep before in our mission? Love big, grow deep, and go out. It's essential for growing deeper in Christ and equipping believers to do his work. Now, for those of us who have been around for several decades, you might, and you've walked with the Lord during that time, to hear the word discipleship does not give you the fuzziest of feelings. Because back in the 1970s, early 80s, there was something known as the discipleship movement. And though there was a lot of good fruit from that, there actually was some really not good fruit from that. In some areas, in some particular areas of discipleship, it became very controlling, almost to the point of manipulation. And so I just want to address, if there's anybody here, you're like, oh my gosh, he's got to speak on discipleship, and you're getting tense and angry already, just relax. But I do want to, I feel like I just need to apologize on behalf of the church. If that was ever you, or you're like, I was part of that, and I am about to tune you out because just that word, that is not the heart of God. To be controlling and manipulative, for his people to be controlling and manipulative. And so if you experienced any of that, I just want to apologize on behalf of the church with the big C. You know, unfortunately, there were, and perhaps there still are, contingents of discipleship where that has been true. But it's not always true, and it certainly is not what's on God's heart for discipleship. Before I get started, I just want to say I will be using the words discipleship and mentoring somewhat interchangeably. So I just want to give a very brief definition of each of them. Discipleship tends to narrow its focus just on a spiritual dimension, and it's very instructive. So it's usually just in a spiritual aspect, very instructive. Mentorship takes more of a focus of helping to bring others into maturity, both in a spiritual aspect and in life overall. And it involves the modeling of one's life. So mentorship is a bit more broad. Spiritual, absolutely. Discipleship can take place under mentoring, but it also just includes life overall. And a real big part of it is the mentor modeling their own life. In Touch Ministries' definition of mentoring would be, the basic principle of mentoring is clear. One trusted and experienced person gives instruction, guidance, and encouragement to another for either a specific area or life in general. So I'm not going to draw this deep, dark line this morning between discipleship and mentoring in this sermon, because they do overlap. And so I'm going to use them interchangeably. I think it's fair to say that mentoring is a very common term used in the context of the church today, almost replacing what was once referred to as discipleship. So ironically, the word mentoring doesn't appear in the Bible, at least of any translations that I know of, but there are plenty of instances of it occurring throughout Scripture. Moses was mentored by his father-in-law, Jethro, and then Moses went on to mentor Joshua. Eli mentored Samuel, who then went on to mentor Saul and David. Elijah mentored Elisha. Naomi mentored Ruth. Barnabas mentored Mark and Paul. Paul mentored Timothy. And the best example of all is that Jesus mentored his 12 disciples, who then went on to mentor many others. Author Michael McLaughlin said, Jesus mentored his disciples, that is, he trained them to live as he lived so they could thrive in his absence. In fact, he practiced mentoring that has the greatest level of influence, the kind that doesn't revolve around set meetings and formal curriculum. Jesus opened his day-to-day life with his trainees. So you could hear that and think, well, that's great, Sue. You know, there's like 6 or 8 examples of people you gave in the Bible, but that's 6 or 8. Like, why would you say that this is a call for all people? Well, the most plain and obvious and direct answer in my mind is if Jesus did it, and he did, and our aim is to be transformed, to be more and more like him, to do the things that Jesus did, then mentoring is a call for all of us as well. To be more like Jesus is to do the things he did, and mentoring was one of them. You will never go wrong copying the things of Jesus, and mentoring was one of them. And if you're not convinced by his example, then I would say we cannot ignore the fact that Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go out, as Mike talked about last week, and make disciples. Go out and help people grow up in God. Now, yes, there definitely is a go out and bring people in who don't know me to be followers. But I believe there is a go out and help people who already know me to grow up in God. It's a command. It's a call for all. Look, if we say we believe in and we want to follow Jesus, then we're also saying we believe in and we want to follow his word. And John 1:1 says that Jesus is the word. And as much as we may not like it, the Bible is not like the wood grill buffet that you get to go through and be like, I'll take some of that. I'd prefer not to do that. I'll have a little bit of this. I hate that. I'm ignoring that. What parts of Jesus we cannot go through and just take, I'd like to emulate this part of Jesus, not this part. Like, I don't like it either. There are things in the Bible I'm like, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do that. But I don't have a choice. If Jesus was involved in discipleship and mentoring, which he was, then we should be too. It's a call for all of us. One of the reasons I love Paul, the Apostle Paul, was that he was a man who was passionate about mentoring people. And mentoring is, I am passionate about it, if you haven't already observed it. I am passionate about it. But I believe the Apostle Paul was as well. Why do I think this? Because he wrote a lot about it in the New Testament. And he also happened to write most of the New Testament. I want to quickly rattle off some scriptures. These are all Paul's words. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul says, we cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very lives, because you had become so dear to us. That's mentoring, sharing your life with somebody. As Jesus opened up his day-to-day life to the disciples, sharing our very lives. Titus 2, Paul is writing to and speaking to Titus, and he says, the older women must train the younger women, in verse 4. And then in verses 6 to 7, he says, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them. That's mentoring. 1 Corinthians 11:1, one of several places that Paul, I think, makes the most, like I can hardly believe it, sort of statement. He says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. That's a lot. I don't know that I can always say that. But here Paul was like, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Come along, let me model. That's mentoring. Philippians 4:9. Paul says, the things which you have learned and received and heard from me, practice these things daily, in daily life. He opened up his life to these people. You've heard them, you've learned them, you've seen them. Now practice them yourself. That's mentoring. 1 Corinthians 4:15 and 16, I love this verse. Paul says, For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. For though you have many guides, we have plenty of guides. We have plenty of teaching we can get online, we can listen to anywhere, but do you have a spiritual father? Do you have a spiritual mother walking alongside of you? If you think in the natural, when you get a guided tour, the guide starts with you somewhere, and they get you to a place, and they just drop you. That's so different than having a spiritual father or a mother. That's mentoring. Church, we need spiritual fathers and mothers because there's a generation behind each one of us, no matter what your age, that needs some guidance as they grow up in God. We need spiritual mothers and fathers. It's a call for all. I guarantee you, everybody in this room, there are things that each one of us have experienced and walked through and had victory over that we can help somebody else as they are walking through and wrestling with. And lastly, 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will also be able to teach others also." He's saying, I poured into you, then you take those things and pour them into others, who then, in an ideal world, pours them into others, and pours them into others, and pours them into others. Imagine the multiplication effect. If I mentor someone, they go on to mentor someone. While they're doing that, I choose somebody else to mentor, and it grows and grows and grows. That's huge. The entire body of Christ is strengthened when, as individuals, believers, we get strengthened through mentoring. It's not just I have this great mentoring relationship and I've gotten stronger, but when all these people in the body are getting stronger individually, the whole body gets stronger. It's a win-win. So in all these verses I just read, was Paul talking to just the audience that he was writing to, or to all of us as well? Yes. Every word, every command, every principle is still as true today as it was for Paul and the people he was addressing. Mentoring is a call for all. Excuse me. So, what does this mean for you and me today? When the rubber meets the road, it's great to hear all these verses. It's good to hear about this idea, but what does this mean for you and me today? Since mentoring and discipleship is a call for all, then we should all be involved in it at some point in our lives. Some seasons you might be the mentor. Some seasons you might be the mentee, the one receiving the mentoring. And there are seasons. Mentor-mentee relationships usually don't last forever. Merle and I just ended an almost 9-year season with our favorite people in Ireland, Paul and Priscilla Reed, who were mentoring us for 9 years. And that season, we all four of us felt like was coming to a close. I personally have mentored some women for a few months, and some I'm into several years with them. So there are seasons, but we should all be involved at some point, whether it's as a mentor or as the mentee. Do you have to be perfect to be a mentor? Absolutely not. So if you're sitting here and thinking, I can never do that because I'm still struggling in this area and I'm deficient in this area, you do not have to be perfect to be a mentor. Mentoring is one imperfect person helping another imperfect person grow more into the perfect love of God. You do not have to be perfect. perfect. I got a kick out of this blog post I read about mentoring. The writer Sharon Miller says, if you were to imagine your ideal mentor, what would she be like? Let me tell you about mine. My ideal mentor would be a woman, at least a step or two ahead of me in life. She would be wise, discerning, and nurturing. She would be devoted to Christ with a contagious faith. She would speak hard truths with gentle grace. She would also be a writer, offering insight and guidance for my writing, helping me to remain focused and centered. She would help me grow as a writer, a leader, and a woman of God. That's the kind of mentor I dream of having. She's basically a mix of Beth Moore, Mrs. Claus, and Jesus. And to date, I have never met her, or at least she doesn't live close by. Mentors do not have to be perfect. And as a mentor, the freeing thing about it is when you are mentoring somebody, you're doing the mentoring, your aim isn't to draw them to you. You're pushing them more to Jesus. You're pushing them to the perfect one, not pulling them towards you. So you don't have to start out perfect. You'll never be perfect. And you're not trying to pull somebody to you anyway. You're pushing them to a perfect God. Some people might say, well, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to be mentored. I don't have time to mentor. Life is full enough. And I would just say, in the words of my awesome, wise husband, we find time to do the things we really want to do. And if you have a hard time with that, you can email Merle at mshank@gcch.org and argue with him about it. But it's true. You think about your schedules are so busy, but then, oh man, this opportunity comes, you know, to go do something fun for a day, and I'll rearrange my schedule. You find time to do the things you really want to do. And if we feel like, you know, I don't have time for this, I don't even want to do it, I think we have to ask ourselves, why am I resisting the Lord on this? Look, this isn't my idea I'm promoting. I'm not up here saying, this is my great idea, this is my program, this is on the heart of God. And if we're sitting here thinking, yeah, I don't want to do that, that's ridiculous, I would just challenge you to ask the Lord, why am I being resistant about this? Look, being a mentor or being mentored is a sacrifice, absolutely. It's a sacrifice of time, it's a sacrifice of your energy, it's a sacrifice of things in your schedule, but it is so worth it. Merle and I were at a conference last week, and one of the speakers, Tim Ross, said something, and I was like on my phone writing it down. He said, if discipleship doesn't feel like a sacrifice, you're not doing it right. It is a sacrifice, but it is so worth it. What are the benefits of being a mentor or being mentored? You will grow. You will grow in your faith for sure. I guarantee it. I read an article by a man, Nathan Johnson, and he said, if you want a secret trick to moving forward faster and deeper in your spiritual life, find someone to mentor you. Anybody here thinking, I wish I could move a little faster and deeper in my walk with the Lord? Find someone to mentor you. You know, even if you are the mentor, it's not like, well, I got it all together. You'll just learn all this stuff from me and I don't have any room to grow. No, you will get stretched as a mentor. I have a young lady I've been meeting with for a few years now, and we just laugh because we'll meet, and she said, you know, last time when we met, I said blah, blah, blah. I thought, Sue must think I am so crazy. Like, what is wrong with her? And I'm thinking, yeah, you remember the last time we met? And I was thinking, you're actually further along in this area than I am. Like, maybe you should be mentoring me in this. I get stretched. Or I'll have, you know, ladies ask me, so what do you think about this? Or what do you think about, you know, what the Bible says about that? I don't know everything. So I'm like, that's a really good question. You know what? I'm going to do some reading, and when we get together next time, we'll talk about it again. So I learn, I grow, I get stretched. Spiritual growth occurs in the context of mentor-mentee relationships. It just does. So, how do I go about either being a mentor or finding a mentor? I am so glad you asked. If I have a heart to mentor, do I just walk up to you and say, Mercy, like, I think I'm, you know, hitting it on all cylinders, so I think I should mentor you? Like, probably not. That probably is, you know, maybe in a rare case. Then how? How do I step into this? Well, here's the first and most important thing I would tell you to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into these relationships. Just ask. Ask, ask. For me, years ago, something started stirring in my spirit about mentoring. I can't even explain it. I just knew something was stirring in my spirit. And so I said, Lord, I'm available. Like, I am available to mentor women. And little by little, opportunities here and there started to trickle in. And the one I thought of this week as I was preparing that kind of made me laugh, Merle and I were, I don't know how soon after it was that I just said, here I am, Lord, I'm available. We were at a fundraiser for something at the JMU Festival Center, and I was in the women's bathroom, and this college student comes up to me, and she says, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I go to Grace, and nice to meet you. She said, and I live in a house of girls, a house full of girls over on High Street, and I was wondering if you would do a Bible study for us. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, it's nice to meet you in the women's bathroom at the JMU Festival Center. And I said, well, let me pray about it. So I did, and I felt like the Lord released me. And so it was for either 2 or 3 years I got to weekly do a Bible study with these girls. There's probably 7 of them. And over the course of that time, about 3 of them I ended up mentoring and spending intentional one-on-one time with. And I... like, some of them I still stay in touch with, and even this past year, I think I touched base with 3 or 4 of them. We're coming through town, a couple have moved back to town. One, you know, reached out to me, I hadn't heard from her a couple years, and get a text from her in a really hard spot. You know, I feel like you would have wisdom. Is there any way we can meet? And it just blesses me to see these young women now raising children, married and raising children, and still having that relationship with them. It is just a blessing. And it just started with me saying, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm available. I'm available. And it has been the passion of my heart since then. And if you have a heart to be mentored, like, I want somebody to help me out, to walk alongside of me, again, just tell the Lord, God, would you please lead me to the right person? Guide me to the right person. I would just say a couple things about if you're looking for a mentor, for somebody to mentor you. It should be somebody a little bit further along in the faith than you, someone whose walk with the Lord you regard and you respect, and someone who has had a victory in the area that maybe you're wrestling with. That is helpful. And then I would also say, and this is really important, if you are looking for a mentor, make sure that it's somebody you can receive from. Not just encouragement, but the hard challenges too. A mentor-mentee relationship is not, I just want somebody to hear my stuff, and I don't plan on changing. I just want an ear that's just going to sympathize with me. That's not a mentor-mentee relationship. So when you think of having somebody mentor you, make sure it's somebody you can receive from, the hard stuff and the encouragement. So if all of this sounds overwhelming and daunting to you, you're like, I don't know how to become a mentor and I don't know how to get a mentor, then I have great news for you. Besides GEICO saving you 15% or more, Grace Covenant Church has a mentoring ministry, the 222 Mentoring Ministry, and we've called it that because it is based on 2 Timothy 2:2. You've heard me teach these things, teach these truths to others, which will then teach these truths to other people. And you can find it at gcch.org/222mentoringministry, gcch.org, go to Grace Life, or I will make later available pamphlets about the ministry as well. And all you need to do is you simply fill out an interest form indicating either I want to be mentored or I want to mentor or both. And Kelly Dietrich and Heather Rosa, who head up the ministry with their team, they prayerfully will match you with somebody. There's some, you know, more in-depth questions they ask you. What are you looking for? How often do you want to meet? So I thought it would be good if we had a testimony shared of one of our 222 pairings. So Garland Kinsey and Doug Dietrich, if you would come up, and they're going to share. Oh, Lord. Sorry, Brian.
Well, when I signed up to be a mentor, I don't know, a year or two ago, with the I didn't know what that was going to look like, really. And so the 222 team paired me up with Doug, and we meet, I don't know, every two or three weeks for breakfast or coffee or whatever. And I'm pretty sure I have not imparted any great words of wisdom to him at this point in time. But I didn't know Doug before, and we've become friends and a Christian brother, and we just kind of meet and talk about what's going on in our lives, and it's just kind of doing life with a friend. That's what I see it as. So.
All right, now I get to share how he has influenced me and give me words of wisdom. So I like Sue said, it's a call for all. With the ministry, I've had a chance to be both a mentor and a mentee, and signing up for this, I honestly didn't know what it was that we were going to be talking about or pursuing, and we fill out an interest form, and the two areas that I have been a mentor is in depression, with my experiences with that, and also business development and finances, which I feel are my strengths, but we got paired up because of those interests, and Garland's got experience, been successful in those areas, and come to find out that's the area that he's really helping and mentoring me. He's just sharing. Business is something that I'm passionate about, but it's also could be my struggle because it's the thing that can overwhelm me and consume me. And he's been able to share on, you know, how to work through those things and also managing people and just being able to listen to what I have going on at my life because of where he's at in his life now. So it's just been a true blessing. And one thing I would say is don't view it as you're weak in that area or you have a problem in that area. Think of it as we want to be the most we can be through Christ. Mm-hmm. And just think of it as that way, that we're trying to be what we can be. So I just appreciate Garland and the time we've had together.
Amen. Thanks. Emily, would you come up? Is Emily here? Yeah. Church, if you haven't gotten it by now, mentoring is a call for all. If you're here and you're following Jesus, bring someone along with you. You're walking with the Lord anyway. Bring somebody along with you. You know, one of the beautiful distinctives here at Grace Covenant Church is that we are a multi-generational church, which is not true of all churches. But we have everybody from 5 days to 5 months to 15 to 85. We have many generations. So we don't even necessarily have to look outside of these walls to find somebody a little bit older, a little bit further ahead of us. And can I just, I really want to honor our Grace seniors. You, please don't think, I'm too old to do this. What young person could really relate to me? And please don't think, you know, I'm done. Like, I'm in my retirement years. I don't want to be. You are a well and a wealth of knowledge that we need. So I'm going to push a little bit for our seniors, whether you're, I don't even want to say what age you are. Please consider being a mentor. Please, you can connect with the mentoring ministry. You are a wealth of knowledge that we need to glean from. We need your wisdom to trickle down to all the generations. We've got all the generations here. The opportunity is right here. being transformed into Jesus' likeness is a process, and we all need a little help along the way. Mentoring is a call for all of us. What are you going to do to answer? Can I have the ministry team come up? We end our services very often at Grace Covenant with a time for anybody to come and receive prayer if they'd like to. And so you can come when I dismiss you and receive prayer for anything, but here are a few things I'd like for you to think about. Number one, I just feel this need. If you're one of those people that you have been burnt in the past by a mentoring relationship, discipling relationship, and you are like, no, thank you, I don't want any part of it, can I just ask you to consider coming up and receiving prayer to forgive this morning, so that you can enter back into something that God has for you? Or perhaps you don't even have a desire at all to do this. You're like sort of, your desire is like flatlined. Maybe you need to come up for prayer and simply just say, Lord, I got nothing. I don't even know what this is. Stir up. Paul said to Timothy to stir up the gifts within you. I'm going to say come up and be prayed for to stir up a desire to be involved in mentoring in some regard. Or maybe you're here and you're like, wow, that is something that God has had on my heart, has been speaking to me about, and I've been a little hesitant to actually step into it and either be mentored or be a mentor. Look, it's not arrogant to say, I'd like to mentor somebody. It's actually a testimony. I've been through some things. I've had victory. I could help somebody. So if you're feeling like, oh, that this is confirmation that God wants me to step into it, maybe you just need to have somebody pray with you to be like, all right, we're getting ready to take the step. Or another option would be, after I pray, I'm going to leave some brochures here on the stage about the ministry. This is basically everything you can find on the website as well. But if you just want to grab one of these, take it home, read about it, pray about it. It's not going to change the fact that it's a call for all of you. But if you need some time to process it, just you can come up and receive, get a brochure. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll dismiss you, and you're free to come up for prayer, free to come up and get a brochure, or you're free to leave. So let's stand, and I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God of relationship, and I thank you that you use relationships to grow us, to challenge us, to encourage us. I thank you that you have people for us to walk alongside of us in our hard times and for us to walk alongside in their hard times. So, Lord, I pray that you really would stir up within everyone here something in this area of mentoring, either to be mentored or to be a mentor. And God, give direction. Lord, don't let it just be a, yeah, I should probably do that. But Lord, I pray that you would sovereignly begin to match people up in relationships that would strengthen those two people and strengthen your body as a whole. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that you have a calling for each of us. We thank you that we are chosen. And we thank you that we're known by you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, you're dismissed. Have a great week, and you're free to come up as well.